Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Happy New Year 2022. I don't need this. It's a timer. I'll be on time. Don't worry. Okay, it's good to see you all. You know, who had a great 2021? All right, good. Very good. But do we want to stay the same 2021? Don't we want to move ahead? Don't we want our 2022 to be better than our 2021? And so we're starting off this year, you know, with this two-part series called Seek. What we're trying to do and what we're saying in all of this is that, you know, at the beginning of every year, everybody takes the time to write down some goals. This year, I want to accomplish this. I want to lose more weight. I want to have more money in the bank account. And I want to be better at relationships. I want my business to increase. I would love to get a promotion. And so we write down all these goals. And so how is everybody going with their New Year's resolutions? None. Okay. And so I guess, you know, to seek, when we talk about seeking here, is to try to find or get something, especially something that is not a physical object. And the synonyms for seek are to look about for, to look around, to be after, to hunt for. Now you can see the focus that this lion has and the poor gazelle, you know, that is running for its life. You see, animals, in the animal kingdom, they've got two things. It's either eating and surviving. For the lion, it's eating. For the gazelle, it's always thinking, how am I going to survive each and every day? But you see, as humans, there's one thing that, you know, it's an imperative of us being humans is that we are always worrying about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, and all those other things that are important to us. And that's not the focus that God wants us to have. God knows that we need all those things. We need clothing, we need food, we need shelter, we need all those basics. And what he wants us to do is to say, you know, I know that you need these things, but my challenge is that I want you to seek after me. It's after God that we have to seek. And it's quite easy at times that we make the things our focus. And it's great to have goals and it's great to have plans. And I think it's important to have plans and to have goals. But I think what is more equally important is that our focus should be on what God wants to do with our lives. And that we all determine at the beginning of the year that this year, if this is going to be my best year, I am going to seek God more than I did in 2021. And so if you sought the Lord hard in 2021, that's good. God wants you to go even deeper in your relationship with him. And the key thing that we have to understand is that, you know, God said in Genesis is that he says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Other translations, that was a New Living Translation. Other translations would say dominion, you know, let them have dominion, let them replenish the earth, which is to fill or to build again. And then it says, and to subdue it, which is to bring it under control. Now, dominion here is not where we're talking of destruction and ruling with an iron fist, but it means taking responsibility. So what we have to do at the beginning of the year is to understand that God has already said, guys, I want you to be fruitful and to multiply. And I think if we can settle that right at the jump and say, I'm not going to worry what is God's will for my life? Because we already know right from the beginning there was a plan that God said that I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply. And that's it. So if we can just get that as, you know what, this has been settled by God. God has decreed that this is what he wants for my life, he wants for my family, that we have dominion and that we reign in life. That is God's plan for us. If we settle that in our minds, then everything else that will come will be very easy. And so in seeking the kingdom, you know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33 says, so don't worry about these things, because we tend to worry about, will I have the finances that I need in 2022? Will I succeed? Will I have all those things that I failed to do in previous years? Is this the year that things are going to happen? And the Lord is saying, so don't worry about these things. Say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And the imperative there is that these things dominate the thoughts of men and women. But the key thing you see is saying, for us as believers, as us as children, men and women of God, this is not the way we should be doing things. Our goal should be to seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And so what is the kingdom of God? You know, and Britannica says the kingdom of God, also called the kingdom of heaven, is the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king, or the fulfillment on earth of God's will. So if you get into a situation where you have a colleague at work that is unwell, we know that the kingdom of God, the will of God, is that that person needs to be healed. And so he has already set you as his ambassador to represent him on the earth. And all you have to do is to say, do you mind if I pray for you? They might say, well, you know, people are very kind if you ask. They say, yeah, no problem. This, we'll try this amongst other things. And then you just pray and believe that the presence of God is going to fall on that particular individual. And as we begin to step out and see that the Lord had, you know, we were saying this earlier today, that the Lord had cast out a demon from a man. And I think the Pharisees came and they were concerned, you know, about why he did that. And he said that if I cast out that demon-possessed man, then the kingdom of God is at hand. And so the kingdom of God is that as individuals, we get to a place where deliverance is required. That is the kingdom of God. We get to a place where, as we're doing business with people, the way we do business as entrepreneurs, people that run businesses, is we are values-driven people. We, you know, we dot our I's and cross our T's. We are fair in what we do, which is different to the way other people do it, because people might think that business is just about cutthroat and cutting corners, but as people of the kingdom, we do things differently. Our scales are always going to be calibrated, and they will always measure correctly. That is the kingdom. That is the way we do business. As you approach your office, as you get into your office, as you're leading a department, leading a team, the kingdom of God is that business would, you know, that we respect the relationships within the office and that there's prosperity within that business. Because if there's prosperity, then everybody benefits. That is the kingdom of God. We do church. We're in church, you know, 52, let's just say 52 weeks of the year, you know, for a maximum period of 2 hours. So that's 104 hours that we're in church. But most of our life is spent out of church. And there is a mandate that is upon us that we have to take the kingdom wherever we go. Take it into the workplace, take it into business. And, you know, people will just be desirous to do business with you because they know, you know what, when I do business with that person, they're legit. There is something different about them. There is a spirit that is upon them that is different to anybody else. When your subordinates or your the people that report to you at work, your direct reports, they say, we know that the boss, our leader here, they're a fair person. We know they will always give us a good shake. They're firm, but they're fair. That is us bringing the kingdom. Because people need to be surprised. I remember there was a time I was in South Africa and my sister was running a business. And there was this, one of her workers, I think his name was George. And George just had a different spirit about him. He was running around, scurrying, doing this and that, and just taking charge. And then eventually I found out that George was a Christian. And in my mind I said, no wonder. And he didn't have to communicate that he was a Christian, but his actions spoke louder than his words. And that is what it should be like when we go into the office, when we go to the shops, when we go and do business deals with people. There is a different spirit that is upon us. John Calvin said, it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. We do that by living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, our families, our schools, and even our finances. Because God in Christ is king over every one of those spheres of life. The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in this world before Christ comes is if we manifest it by the way we live as citizens of heavens and subjects of the King. That is the kingdom of God. And I am compelled that this is the year that everybody is going to understand that I am an ambassador. And the good thing about an ambassador is you don't have any authority except the authority you've been given. You are a representative. And I recall this is early December, I just felt this, I don't want to say the Lord, but I just had a thought, you know. A thought came to me that, you know, that I am an ambassador, that there are spheres that I've been placed in. There's this church sphere here, but there's also other worlds that I'm around. And I said this last week that we are in the world, which is this world here, but then we've also got little worlds that we're a part of. And it's these worlds that God has given us authority. And so I felt that in the world where I'm interacting with other people that I partner with in business, is that I'm an ambassador. And so we had a planning meeting, and I recall saying, guys, look, I'm a guy of faith, you know, and so if it's okay with you, can we just start this planning meeting for 2022 with a little Bible story? And the Bible story was that, you know, you can plan all you want, but unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain, the builders labor in vain. And what I was just saying is that, you know, it's great for us to plan, but we also understand that there is an even bigger being that is orchestrating how our worlds are working. And then one of the guys said, you know what, it's really good to sometimes hear the Bible stories, but it's because I believe that I am an ambassador. I represent Christ. That is the kingdom. I was in an office, and my boss he had a back pain. And so I mustered up the courage. In fact, you know, yes, I'm sitting in the office, in my office, and he's walking. Each time he grimaces when he's walking because his back hurts. And I'm starting to get annoyed because I'm saying to myself, I have the power of God in me, yet I am sitting idle whilst this guy is walking around with pain in his back. And so I went into his office and I said, you know, again, I'm a Christian dude. Is it okay if I pray for you? And he says, yeah, you know, we'll try that amongst all the other things I'm doing, you know. And so guess what I did? I prayed for him. Now, the surgery, perhaps, might have helped. But I think what it helped me even more is to recognize that if he wasn't miraculously or instantaneously healed, it did something within me to say that I'm a carrier of the presence of God. And so wherever I go, I have the authority to just touch and to heal. And it's not my authority, because the moment I step out and say, be healed, I'm connected to another source that will all of a sudden flow through me and to begin to touch that person. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given that authority. And so it's about reigning. It is about reigning in this life. It is about us taking that kingdom wherever we go. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God above all else? Have you ever lost your keys? Or been hungry for biscuits? You just have a craving. We're now at a stage where we hide food in the house. You know, because I go into the fridge. And the kids, I love connoisseur ice cream. But when I go to the fridge, the box is there, the container's there, but it's empty. And I'm super annoyed. Why don't you just throw it in the bin? And so if you've lost your keys, you have a craving, you search the whole house looking for your keys. You search where good food is hidden. And there is an intensity to your searching. Because we're ambassadors, we have to recognize that if the kingdom of God is going to come and work and live through us, we all need to seek more of the Lord. Because without him, we cannot do anything. Without him in our businesses, God wants to increase and multiply. He doesn't want your business to shrink and become insignificant. He wants your business to increase and multiply so that your influence increases. Because as your influence increases, what you're able to do increases as well. Now, we don't want to be those who shrink back and then just want to be poor. And you know, we want to be insignificant people. That's not what the kingdom is. The kingdom is people that will take upon the mandate that God has placed on their lives and say, I'm going to put my hand up for the promotion that comes at work. I'm going to put my hand up so that I'm going to love my family even more. Our families are just going to be people that when others see them, they say, there is something about these people. I can't put my finger on it. There's just something special about these families. This kingdom of God will permeate everything that we do in our lives. It will influence the way we deal with our children, the way we deal with our spouses, the way we'll deal with co-workers, our leaders, and even our speech will change. For many years, you know when you struggle with something, you're struggling. You've got an addiction. We won't go there, but you've got something that is really bothering you. You know, there is a desire for breakthrough that each and everyone has. We start off the year with our resolutions. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And that is really good. But what desire for breakthrough will do will cause us to try anything to make sure that we get that breakthrough. If you're going to take your influence at work to the next level, you're going to need more of the Lord. If you're going to take your business to the next level, you're going to need wisdom from the Lord to be able to do that. There's a story in the Bible where a father had a son who, you know, he was convulsing and carrying on, and he was controlled by a demon. And so this father was desperate. I can imagine the desperation that this father would have felt each time he saw because the demon would do weird things. It would throw him into fire, in water. And so their life was just, it wasn't good because of the way this child was. And so the father, in desperation, brings him to the disciples. He had probably heard these are Jesus' guys. They heal and all that kind of stuff. And so he brings them to the disciples, and they cannot help the man. And so in desperation, Jesus just comes down with James, John, and somebody else. Peter, James, and John. This is just after the transfiguration. Walks down the mountain, and this father explains what was going on with the child. And he says, if you are willing, and the Lord said, yeah, I'm willing. And then he was able to remove the demon out of the young boy. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. For where you want to go in your life, for where God wants to take you, it's not going to be hocus pocus, abracadabra. You know, it's going to be about the Lord. It's going to be prayer and fasting, where God is going to begin to intervene and do things with you. And as I was thinking about this message this morning, I was driving, and I recalled that Abraham, when God called him, he says, leave and go to a place that I will show you. And this is what it's like for us at the beginning of the year. We don't know what's in store for us, but what we do, though, is that we go with an anticipation and with a hope that with God, he's going to lead us. And so we're going to be okay no matter what is going to come our way. Your challenges, the things that are affecting you, are going to come to pass, are going to be broken. The deliverance or the desire for breakthrough that you have can only be achieved as we begin to seek the Lord through prayer and through fasting, for your business to go to the next level, for you to be given wisdom and insight for ideas, or whatever it might be, it is going to be achieved through prayer and fasting. And so, what is fasting? Going without food for a while, for a very long while. So fasting is a voluntary abstention from food for a period of time. Fasting is abstinence mainly from food. It can also be abstinence from anything from physical appetite, i.e. sleep. Fasting is not an option for a believer. It's how we live our lives. And it should always be accompanied by prayer. This fasting should always be accompanied by prayer. That is going to be how we're going to break through, how we're going to move on to the next level of where God wants to take us. And the question is, why should we fast? Number one, it's a command from the Lord Jesus. He says in Matthew 6, verse 16, he says, and when you fast, not if you fast, and when you fast, don't make it as obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. All he's saying is that you're not fasting so that everybody else can see you and clap their hands and say, wow, you know, Pastor Steve, he fasts 60 days in a row. Or he fasts, I've just finished my 120-day fast. It's not about that. You know, that'll be a great fast. 120 days? Nah, I'm not doing that. Luke 5:33-35, when we're talking about the command from the Lord, he says, one day some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking? Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. This is about us going to the next level as a church, as families, as a community, going to the next level. We go to the next level by going down on our knees. Even in that scripture in Matthew 6, it talks about, I think verse number 4, talks about when you pray. Not if you pray, it's when you pray. And the second thing is, the Lord Jesus himself fasted. He's our role model. And so we follow him. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. And we know the victory that the Lord lived with after he did that. He was able to overcome the enemy. He got the exact same test that Adam got, but he was able to overcome. And there is something, there's a renewal, there's a strengthening of the Lord that comes when we say we're going to seek him and focus on him for our lives. Amen? I have a story here that I asked my friend to, if I could share, and he said, if it's for the kingdom of God, you can share it. Bruce was a Zimbabwean man, and his family, they moved to Alice Springs. His wife was a nurse, and he moved over, and he was driving, and he started driving a taxi for somebody else. And he had a desire to own his own taxi license. And so each time they would put out a ballot, he would put his hat in, and he wouldn't get it. It would go to somebody else. And so he was just never successful. And I think in 2012, he called me, 2012-13, he called me and he said, look, there's a ballot that is going to come out, must have been on a Thursday, and I really want to put in. And I said, Bruce, we'll fast. And so we said, we'll do a 3-day fast. You know, I wasn't going to do a 10-day, so just 3 days. And so in that, the very first, I started, let's say, fasting today. That night when I went to sleep, I was sitting in my living room. This is in the dream. 12 Mooring Loop is where I was staying. I was sitting in my living room, and through the wall, I could see there was like a snake moving. And so I went to the kitchen and I grabbed a very sharp knife, and I got the knife and I cut, and I, as I saw the snake, I just went and chopped part of the snake off, and all of a sudden there was just all this yuckiness that came out. The next morning I called him and I said, Bruce, you've got your license. Your license is, or you'll get it. And when they did the ballot, Bruce did get his taxi license. But then what happened is that people complained that, why did Bruce get his license? You know, he's just come, you know, he hasn't been around for a very long time. And I said to him, Bruce, it's too late. Once the government stamps that you've got your taxi license, that's it. They cannot revoke it. And that is the power of when you fast and to seek the Lord. And I don't know what issues you have for yourself, for your family, for your business, that you need a breakthrough from the Lord for. Jensen Franklin gives 9 reasons for fasting. There's a Samuel fast. When the Philistines were preparing to attack Israel, Samuel, the prophet, declared a fast for national revival. He told the people to fast and seek God to return his presence to the nation. This is 1 Samuel 7, verse 3. There is another fast, the Paul fast. And with this one, if you're faced with a major life decision and you don't know what to do, maybe you have a job opportunity, a broken relationship, or an unfulfilled dream, God has provided a way for you to discern his voice. Now the prophet, this is Saul, this is Paul before he was Saul before. He was going the wrong way in life. He was hunting down followers of Christ and persecuting them when the light of God knocked him down off his path. And Saul headed to Damascus. He became blind and was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 9. And he didn't know what to do, but he fasted for God's divine direction. Then God sent the disciple Ananias to Saul with the guidance that he needed for his life. And through this process, Saul became Paul, one of God's chosen disciples. Paul got the direction he needed, and so can you for your life. Whatever it is that you require from the Lord, you will get the direction that you want. And as we bring this to a close, we're going to have the keys and the band, the worship team get back up. So as a church, we would like to start 22 with a fast to seek the Lord for our church, for our families, and our community. And starting from Monday, 17 January, which is not this Monday, you'll be glad to hear, but the following Monday to Wednesday, the 19th of January, 2022, we encourage you to join us what we're calling the Seek God Fast. Not Seek God Fast, but the Seek God Fast. And so next week we will have, you know, some sign-up sheets and just some cards where we're asking that you identify three things that you're requiring a breakthrough from the Lord. Whatever that is, you've got the whole week to think, to ponder. And then next week during the service, we'll give you an opportunity to write down your three things. And you don't have to put your name on the card, but you can if you want. And we will have during Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 7 to 7:30 at night, we will have a Zoom prayer session where we'll go through a 5 to 8 minute devotional, and then we'll begin to pray over those particular concerns that you have. I don't know about you. I want the wisdom of God. I want God to do something with my life, to take me to places that I never thought possible. And I'm encouraged by that, the way he worked with Abraham. He says, come and I'll show you the place that you need to go. And it's going to be a process where we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to seek him and we're going to see breakthrough. Whatever it is that was holding you down, your family, whatever it may be, there's going to be breakthrough this year. We're believing strongly that God is going to move in your life, in my life, in our lives, in our community's life, and so that we take the kingdom of God wherever we go, because we're going to need it. For what God is preparing you for, this is the season that God has got something planned for you especially, and we're going to set it off by seeking him. And so next week we will unpack a bit more about the different types of fasts and what you can do, whether you go full day, half day. And remember, this is not all TV, might be social media, might be another fast, if that's something that is bedevils you. The main aim is that let's just seek the Lord. And even if it's just for a reason of, God, I want to know you more, that's a good enough reason. You may not think, oh, everything is good, is fantastic in my life, but you just want to seek the presence of God. And that's our desire for you. We've as a team, you know, we've planned out what the year is going to be. We've done all that. But guess who we need? We need the Lord. And so let's stand this morning. Lord, we just thank you this morning. And if it's okay, Lord, with you, we will never be presumptuous. But God, it's you that we want. And as we start off 2022, Lord God, we would take on our assignment, Lord God, as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as men and women that are ambassadors, Father, it is not our authority. We only speak what we have the authority to speak. That's what ambassadors do. And Father, you have a desire, Lord God, that each and every one of us would go deeper in relationship with you, would get to find out what your heart is for our lives, for our families, for our children, for our relationships, in our businesses. Father, we are people of influence. that this is not the year that we're going to shrink back. We're not going to apologize, Father. We're not going to be presumptuous either, Lord, to go ahead of you. But we're going to believe on your word that you want us to increase and to multiply, to have dominion, that the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the will, your will be done in heaven as it is, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you that we are ambassadors. We thank you, Lord God, that 2022 is going to be great, because it is going to be the greatest year that we've ever had in our relationship with you. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And I just pray, Lord God, for everybody in this place today, that they would experience, Lord God, your presence. They would experience what it is, Lord God, that the kingdom of God is at hand. That we take it into the marketplace. We take it wherever we go, Lord God. We take it, Father. It is not our power. It is your power. It is your anointing. They are your words. Father, I just pray a release and a breakthrough, Lord God, for those that are in business, Father. I pray, Lord God, for those that are fearful, that a spirit of courage would come over them, Lord God. People, Lord God, that are just, they don't know, Lord God, whether to move forward or whether to get the promotion, the direction that they seek for their life, that, Lord God, you would make a way for them. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And your people said, amen. Amen.